Hello everyone and welcome to the IoT Sweden podcast. Today we are visited by the BAIT project, or BAIT project. Let's see if I'm right. Please introduce yourself.
My name is Thomas Nylund and I'm working as a senior strategist and advisor at Vafab Miljö. It's an association formed by 12 municipalities with responsibility for the municipal waste management in these 12 municipalities.
Yes, hi. My name is Silvia Bruzzone, so I'm a senior lecturer at Mälardalen University, so Department of Organization and Management.
Okay, so you come from the BAIT project. Could you please introduce the project?
Yes, so the BAIT project has the intent of understanding how Internet of Things can improve activities within the waste management sector, so especially within the Vafab Miljö in particular. And the main goal would be to develop an EU strategies as the main final result.
All right. And what's the name of the project, and what does the acronym stand for?
So BAIT stands for Bättre avfallshantering med IoT. So in Swedish, and in English, it's like improved waste management with the Internet of Things.
Well, that's good that you took it in English as well. I didn't realize it was in Swedish, the acronym. What type of project is this?
It's a preparation project. We're aiming to formulate a strategy for IoT for the waste management business. And we have a kind of holistic approach. Many in the business has focused on sensors in bins and containers to optimize logistics. But we are looking upon if we can capture data over time, over longer periods, and use the data for better planning, optimizing the whole system, and also to make prognosis, forecasts, and also get feedback to the customers, those who generate waste. Could we affect their behavior in sorting better, for example?
Who are the partners in the project, and what are their roles in general?
The problem owner is the Association for Waste Management, Vafab Miljö, with responsibility for collection and treatment of waste in these 12 municipalities. And it's a huge organization with a lot of people involved. But then we have Mälardalen University with Silvia, adding the more scientific aspects to it, and also looking for the behavior changes connected into introduction of IoT technology. And then we have the branch organization for the municipalities involved in waste management in Sweden, Avfall Sverige, Waste Sweden. They are also eager to distribute the knowledge and the results that we capture in this project to other municipalities.
Do you want to add something to this?
What it was important, I think, for this project, and also the perspective that I bring as an academic, if we can say so, is really this shifting the focus from technical solutions only to really thinking about how technical solutions reconfigures and affects working practices. So our attention is really on this, not just on what kind of sensors or what are other solutions are could be relevant, but more our perspective is first of all to understand how the work actually is done within the company and what kind of solutions could be meaningful in order to make these working practices work better, in a sense. So I think it's the added value of this project is really to have this double side, so technical, but especially connected to more social, socio-technical, we would say, aspects.
When did the project start, and when is it planned to end?
Yes, so the project is rather short. So it started in February 2022, and it will last until the end of January 2023.
And how is the project going?
Well, almost according to schedule. We made about 15 interviews with key people within the organization to listen how they consider their operations working today, their perspectives on possibilities of using IoT, and we also been in contact with several companies providing IoT solutions for waste management and for other businesses as well.
Great.
And the waste management business is rather conservative, I would say, after we've been working with it in it for 15 years. Change takes time, and a very important aspect is actually the people working in the organization, how they view the new technology and how could working procedures be changed and so on. But also, I mean, for the impact from waste, we are have to rely on the public, on the people generating waste and sorting their waste, trying to affect their behavior. So if you can capture data in a better way by IoT and give feedback to those who generate waste and sort waste, then we could reach our environmental goals in a better way as well.
And I think what Thomas says is really important and interesting. I wanted to add that because you asked, Nikolai, what's the problem, actually? And so what you ask us to formulate a sort of problem. And what we have seen that there is a need within the organization to move from working according to plan, to working according to needs, so what they need. So this shift is a kind of a problematic because it requires a certain flexibility that for the moment is kind of harder to achieve. And it's in this sense that...
Is this just for Swedish actors or is this in general in the world?
For sure, it concerns that company. And I mean, maybe Thomas can answer better to this because he has a wider experience on other waste management companies. But in particular, this idea of shifting from plan to needs is a kind of tricky one. And for sure, they take also inspirations in order to, you know, look forward from the private sectors, where they so there are different people in the organization that come from the private sector and they have experienced another way of working, which is more flexible, more having a capacity to change according to needs, and so this is kind of still kind of tricky and hard for them to for a public organization that has a certain way of modus vivendi and a certain structure and a way of functioning.
Well, the waste management business in general is rather traditional. I mean, it's a heavy machinery working every day. I think we have about 50 garbage trucks collecting waste every day. We have in Vafamiljö 18 recycling yards. It's a huge organization, heavy machinery. We've done this in this way all the time. So why change it? Because it works.
Yes, I think that part of the problem is that in a way, it's a company that has already worked for a long time and the way that it's working. But now there are new challenges that are coming, and that is also why there is really a need to change working practices and maybe with the add of technologies. In particular, there is really dire straits. There is an economic, conditions that push to really become more efficient. That is for sure. So, but also there are also ecological also aspects. For example, I remember somebody saying that for the moment we drive too much. For example, so we are a kind of environmental friendly company because we actually do a really a very important job for the environment, so to say. But at the same time, the emissions also that the company itself is producing during the activities also something that has to be worked upon. And also I would say that there is another input for change, that is the need to reduce so residual waste, so which has to be burned in the local energy power plant.
Do you want to add something to the driving forces aspect?
Well, talking about the driving forces, as Sylvia mentioned, it's much more harder the circumstances today than it has been before. I mean, we have a board of politicians. They don't want to raise the fees for the waste collection and treatment, of course.
And this is because the companies themselves are run by the public authorities.
Yeah.
Politicians sit on the boards. All right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The politicians, they don't want to raise the fees, of course, towards the publics for the collection and treatment of waste. So that's the driving force, to be as efficient as possible.
So in today's world, how many people are affected by this problem that you're trying to solve?
I would say that everybody, the whole public. I mean, we are serving the whole public with our services and collection and treatment of waste, and trying to minimize waste and increase recycling. So everybody is generating waste, actually. So it involves everybody in the society, I would say.
Yes, I agree that, I mean, this is waste management is really a huge problem today. And because we have to face a kind of shifting paradigm from linear economy, which means produce, consume and dispose, towards a new mindset and new processes that are more that look more towards circularity. But also, I would say that the main goal would be even before circularity is really to try to reduce waste. So which is the first step in the hierarchy of waste, which is to reduce is the first goal, actually, long before recycling and reuse.
And I would say that economics and environment goes hand in hand in this case. I mean, if we can be more efficient in our logistics and all the operations, we can save money there. We can use those resources for campaigning towards less waste, more recycling, etc.
And in this problem that I believe that most companies have been trying to obviously reduce the waste and so on in different ways, how do you think the data will change this fact?
Well, we are looking upon what data we can capture, actually, how people are generating waste and how they are sorting. And if we can give them a feedback rather immediately upon their behavior, and they can see also that they could improve by sorting better, and then they also could save money by sorting better, and so on. So a quick response and feedback to the public.
So do you guys believe that you can achieve a perfect circularity in the future by proceeding on this path that you've set forward on?
Well, that's an ambitious goal, but of course we are aiming for that, I would say.
As a social scientist, we are never so optimistic. I would say that data can be a way of improving. So as Thomas was saying, this feedback between what the workers every day are doing from when they collect, so the waste, and what they see, for example, if something is wrong or with the bins, the containers. But also to provide a direct feedback to the client. I still have a problem with this client because for me it's like all citizens, and so yeah. But there is also another issue how data can improve the activities, having a more efficient view of. And use of data within the company. So in order to improve how the activity is done, for example, there is a big issue in this optimizations of the routes. So So now, as I said, it's done in a more kind of standardized manner, and it would be definitely be better if it was much more fitting to really the needs of who, where we should collect the waste today according to their level of fullness of their containers, for example. So for the moment, there is, of course, there are data in the companies. There are a lot of data, but the point is that we are kind of fragmented for the moment. So there are different, we are in different files, in different Excel files, and the point is would be how to make them match and you know, work together in a more kind of homogeneous and way. So that would be also to not just to generate new data, but having a better use of existing data.
Yeah, that's a very important perspective. I think we can combine data that we already have, are generating in the business, in the operations, in new ways to learn more. I think that we also can see patterns over time and the differences between different housing areas, how much waste it's generated, what kinds of waste and so on, and how this also differs over time.
Okay, so now we're going to jump into the next section of this, so the solution. So how did you initially expect to solve this problem that you have identified?
The idea is, so as said, to shift the focus from technology to working practices, and which means that technologies are a part of the working practices. So in order to understand how technologies can be an added value, it's really important to understand how the work is done today, and then to see what kind of, according to that, to what is already there, we can think about what kind of solutions can be meaningful and understood and improve the actual working practices. So that is our position, and I see that in our empirical field, we needed to make this shift and to put aside actually all these sensors and you know, all kinds of fancy solutions that are on the market, in order to grasp really what these people are actually doing and what are, you know, the kind of hinders in order to achieve their task and so on. So we make a kind of step backward in a way, and I think it's also the most interesting also thing to do. Now I have a little bit forgotten about the sensors, and but it will come back. But so this is our kind of position, and I think it remains a little bit the same. So there is no change in this positioning, our starting position.
We are a preparatory project, and our aim is to formulate IoT strategy, a platform for IoT strategy. How could we approach this matter and implement new technology, but from the perspective how we can optimize our working procedures and so on, and the impact on the outside world, so to say, on those who generate waste and sort waste as well. I mean, many companies has introduced sensors in bins to see and optimize the routes, the logistics. That's a low-hanging fruit. But we are trying to have a bit more of a holistic approach to this matter.
And you're working more with available data that's already there, but...
Yeah, we interviewed people in the organization, and we have found that there is already a lot of data that is generated from their daily operations. But as Sylvia mentioned before, they're fragmented and they're not combined in a way that they could be combined to give a better picture of the operations and the impact of the operations.
So after starting your project, have you run into any issues in terms of false assumptions that you made you rethink your approach, or is everything going just as planned?
I would say that our approach has not really been reconsidered. I think it still works. But at least from my side, I was kind of surprised of something else, actually, that concerns really what does it mean to work within the sector of waste management. I've been working a little bit before, so moving to Sweden and in France, for example, in this sector, and I can see really a difference in the appreciations and understanding of what does it mean to be a worker in working with waste. In the south of Europe, I would say that there is a certain devaluation of the work itself, because for two reasons. One side, you work with dirtiness, something that smells bad, that you're outside. It's very physical, so you work outside all the year round, so with the bad weather, good weather, and so on. But also, I would say that very often in the south, like Italy or France, the working conditions are not that good. So very long working hours, very physical work, very invisible work as well. And here, so I discovered a new situation actually. So where working with waste is not devaluated. The working conditions are rather good, from what I understand. Not so long working hours. Very good protection from labor organizations. So that was kind of interesting to see. And in a way, it's really, I don't know exactly how this this element will affect our results, but in any case, I've been making some observations close to workers that go around and picking up the bins and so on, and I see that there is a sort of nostalgia or from old good times, because in the past, it seemed that this work was even better protected, and they had even better conditions. And those who have been working there for like 20, 30 years, they see now that these working conditions are kind of being degraded, becoming worse. And this also makes also an impact in this idea of change, because it means changing into worse conditions where you look more at efficiency, more at results.
Well, the garbage driver, being a garbage driver, that was a very well paid and respected job before, but they drove their own route in a statistic way all the time, and they felt that they were very free to do what they wanted to do. I mean, now we're looking upon how they are moving to optimize the routes, etc. So they, of course, they feel that they are more observed in their work. 15 years ago, the recruitment of staff to the recycling yard, that was garbage drivers that got a bad back or been hurt or something like that in their jobs. So they were replaced there to the recycling yards. But now when we are making recruitments, we are looking for people with experience from service sectors. We meet people at the recycling yards. We inform them. We try to influence their behavior and so on to sort better, etc.
Working with the solution and exploring it, what type of data have you encountered that has the most impact for the waste disposal company?
One perspective, it's about the logistics. I mean, it's a huge heavy machinery collecting waste all the time. So can we optimize there? We can save a lot of money and also minimize impact on the environment if we drive more efficiently. But then we have the behavior among the public, they who generate waste and sort waste. Can we get better data on that behavior and give that feedback to them and make an impact on them so they generate less waste and sort better? Then we have really then we can reach our environmental goals better.
One can also ask what kind of data are missing, because that is also a big deal actually in the organizations, meaning that there are really data missing from very kind of important things, like for example the numbers of containers that the company has, where they are, in what conditions, and for the moment these data are missing. So they are actually working upon this because I mean, of course, the company is working with this kind of tools, and so for the moment it has been hard to map them, to have control also on them. But also, for example, data that are missing can be also, for example, from the each household's bin, not just for the level of fullness, but also, for example, in order to be able to say, okay, we have emptied that bin today. So there is no possibility to trace, actually, to track this kind of job, which is of course important for the company also to say, okay, we have done the job, and also to have a sort of feedback to the client in case there are also complaints and so on. So I think that also the missing data is kind of issue.
So in terms of encouraging the end users, the customers, the citizens to change their waste management behavior, do you think that there are any measures or incentives that a waste disposal company needs to implement?
Well, what we have been working with, I think this will be a question for Sylvia, I think, on behavior changes. But what we have been working with is actually giving some consequences on the behavior. I mean, if you can choose if you sort your waste or not sort your waste, you get actually a lower fee if you sort your waste than you put it if you put every thing in the bin for burnable waste. And we also give feedback if we can see that people are sorting badly or wrongly. They can get a message about that and also get a punishment with a higher fee for that.
I think that at the Vafab we are still in kind of mid conditions. We try to communicate, and so our goal is first of all to improve that system, because for the moment, and as I said, I was just at the side of the driver when we took our 6 hours tour, and the driver is taking a lot of notes on his pad of all possible things that he sees wrong in collecting the waste. For example, there is plastic in the bio waste. So of course this is wrong, because the bio, so the motafall, so the bio waste is going to be used in order to produce biogas. So of course there should be just food and other organic residues. But another problem is, for example, if in the rest of fall, so what is not sorted, there is, for example, things that should be sorted, like glass or metals. So if there was this possibility to give a direct feedback to the household, saying, okay, look, we have found a glass of bottle in your residues, that is wrong, because you have the possibility to sort it out, and that should be that is what you should do. But here I think we have also to make a step back, and as Thomas said, we are end of pipe. when we talk about waste management. And I think that not everybody, everything can be done by the a company which is end of pipe. So other actions should be taken far ahead from other actors as well. So those that are responsible at the end of having good ecological results, for example, at the level of the city.
One possibility of making some kind of impact on those who generate waste would be to give them feedback on statistics on how much waste they have generated, how well they have sorted as well, so they can get this data for their environmental reports, for example, for companies.
Yes, I agree, and I think that now there is so much work that has been at city level, so to show that you are kind of good in achieving environmental goals or SDGs. So I think that so waste should be really one of the central elements also for a city to say we are doing well.
So what learnings and insights has come out of the work done in the project up until now?
I would say that, at least from my side, I realize that there is already within the company really this consciousness of things that need to be changed, to be improved. And I think if I think about where are they now, I would say that they see the need, and I think they have also somehow collected the resources also to go into a change. But I see that there is still rather unclear how to go into that. I think that there has been already some sort of actions done with the different managers, so starting up from the management level, in order to kind of, and I think it was also the mission that also that the former also director was really pushing towards is first we have to have the managers on board and then going lower down.
In terms of the results, the aim of the project is to produce an IoT strategy for the waste disposal company. But what does that mean? What is an IoT strategy?
Well, I would say that when you hear the word IoT strategy, you might focus on the technology, IoT technology. But, I mean, the strategy is how to implement technology that serves the operations in a good manner. And then we are talking about methods and approaches and getting the people to use the technology and how to implement it in a good way. So it's a lot about actually the procedures, how to implement new solutions in the operations, I would say.
Yes. Now I'm wondering if the natural result of this project after having done this journey will be really like an IoT strategy or maybe something else, because as we have said, so we have been focusing so much on how the work is done. First, to understand what the processes are and how they could be improved. So I'm wondering if the focus is still technology or something else. So it's really the work in itself, and to try to really also to go a little bit deeper in describing it and try to pinpoint some bottlenecks that maybe don't depend on technology and maybe don't the solution is not forcibly connected to the adoption of a technology. So in a way, it will be a little bit harder, I would say, from our side, but maybe more interesting because it's not a kind of a quick fix.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a danger if we focus too much on technology when we are talking about IoT strategy. or mainly talking about technology. I mean, there can be splendid technical solutions, but it's people that has to implement them, use them, accept them, etc.
So how will the results of the project impact society in the long term?
The way that I see, the one important result would be like to make this work visible. I think that still waste management is a very kind of invisible sector. But what happens if we had an idea also? What is happening afterwards? And where are, you know, this part of ourself, where is it going? And what is happening? Who is taking care of it? And I think also talking with, relatives or friends, there is an idea that there is, you know, a perfect system just after our, you know, after our bin, so that is there is somebody that is doing the perfect job of taking our garbage and putting in the right. No, it's us. There is not this perfect system. So I think that for me, that would be just already a great result in really bring a little bit more of accountability of the systems, and and of course also how then the digitalization can improve and so on. But I think that to kind of fill a little bit this huge gap between I would say citizens and their garbage and you know and how this really impact at the end the environment but also our health, because of course we are talking about emissions and we are talking about good living conditions in cities. So that would be for me already a huge result.
I'm thinking that the aim for us when we are introducing new technology or changing working procedures, etc. Well, the aim when we are introducing new technology or new working procedures, the overall aim and goal must be to lower impact on environment from waste and to be as efficient as possible in all our operations, collection and treatment of waste, but also in information towards the public and planning and optimizing in different ways.
So what would you like our audience to do after listening to this podcast?
I hope that they will be interested, at least, in knowing more about the project and knowing more about our work. But in any case, raising awareness. And of course, Thomas and I are very passionate in this project and this topic. So we would be also very happy to answer questions and to discuss.
And you're very welcome to share your experiences with us as well. I mean, rights and wrongs, so we can learn from you as well.
So last but not least, what should the next project focus on?
From my side, I would say go deeper into what we have already been doing. And on the other side, I think it would be really good to expand to other actors and to have a broader view also. As we said, it's a municipal company. Of course, we have to get in contact also with the other actors that are involved, but now, for the moment, silence.
No, I agree. I think it's a lot about how to implement new technology in a proper way in an organization, in operations. I mean, technology is available, but it's about, as we said, before, I mean, the hardware doesn't work without the software, so to say.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming to our podcast and sharing your insights about your project. And I hope that many of our audience contacts you to follow up and ask questions and engage. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.